Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at The Liars Club is we have one of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is the truth, one is a lie, and we try to figure out which one is the lie. I'm only smiling because... You go ahead, introduce Earl. No, just introduce our customer.
Yeah. Well, I'm super excited to have this gentleman. He's a paid regular here at the Comedy Store. He has a wrestling podcast on the Comedy Store Network as well. He is the king of leather pants and custom and vintage t-shirts.
Just got seven in the mail today from JudasPriest.com.
He's also a member of an exclusive gym here in L.A. Please welcome Earl Skakel.
That's an honor. The honor is all mine. I'm a little nervous right now because I was just going to tell my same gangbang story.
I know.
Because it's been a while.
It's been a while. That's why I was laughing when I said, oh, go ahead and introduce Earl, because I was like, I almost wanted to say, here he goes with some more gangbang stories.
Well, I have four.
You have four? Jeez.
And I've only participated in one. So.
Well, then you really only have one, Earl.
But I was there. Believe me, what I saw was
like, okay.
You can't unsee.
Like Vietnam, you were either there or you weren't.
All right, so you see how that's going to go right now. So Earl, what do you got? What's going on with the podcast about wrestling? Like, what do you got? You're adding stuff at the end. You were talking about roast battle.
Yeah. I was doing wrestling promos in the vein of say Ric Flair and. Rick Rude, of course, Rick's dead. All these wrestlers die before they're 50.
Damn.
Wrestlers lead a comic's life.
Uh-huh.
Plus the working out. Comics don't really hit that part.
plus working out that kills you.
Yeah.
So I got into trouble just because the roast battle community did not take kindly to my thoughts on the show.
Uh-huh.
And so I keep getting battle offers now.
Uh-huh.
It's like, that wasn't the point of the promos. I'm trying to rescue you fools, but you keep roasting.
Well, anyway, so we've invited Earl today. By the way, I'm going to do the recap. Usually when someone tells a story, we have Michael or David here to write down the recap. They are not here today, so I'm going to do it. And how
can I do one story?
Sure.
Okay.
Do you have a gangbang story too?
No, I'm going to recap your
first. Does she have a gangbang story?
I'll recap his first story.
But
story.
Church camp.
I do. Well, she had a sex dream about me.
I did, and I had a dream about Luke last night.
That's your problem.
And we did kiss. It was weird, dude.
Okay. What did we do? We had sex,
yeah. But now with Luke, we were all like, I'm guessing it was like us door guys, whatever. We're on a trek, like walking across America, right? And then it came down to just me and Luke, and we had been through the trenches, And we finally make it to the end. We're almost at the coast, and like we're holding hands and we kiss, and then we think that we're almost, about done. But then these wolves show up, like three of them, and he's like doing something, and I tell him turn around. And he sees the wolf, and I'm about to say, don't run.
Uh-huh.
And he fucking runs, and the wolves go chasing after him.
Uh-huh.
And so he dies.
All right, well, that's weird.
I'm horny.
That's weird. That's so really wait, was weird.
Luke Schwartz or Luke Hurl? Lucas.
Schwartz.
Oh, boy.
I know.
But he's got a hot wife. Like,
yeah,
I don't know why I'm...
I mean, nothing you about like you, men. But his wife is hot.
I mean that respectfully, like...
I'm not sexually attracted to Luke at all, but I don't...
You are, though, if you dreamt about him deep down in your subconscious.
Yeah.
There was more to it. I mean, it kept... I kept trying to go find him. I wasn't sure if he was dead, and then I finally went and found him, and he was in the belly of an anaconda.
Okay.
Sounds like a Tuesday night on the patio after roast battle.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's a very interesting story. Thank you for sharing. And we'll see if it keeps in the podcast, considering that Luke
is
married.
He also has a podcast on this network.
Yeah,
it's a dream.
What is his podcast?
The Door Guy podcast.
It better stay in the podcast.
Yeah. What's the weirdest sexual dream you ever had? I'll tell you what mine was. Mine was when I was 16 years old, I had a dream that the devil was on to me and liked me and we were having sex, and then he right in the middle of having sex he starts to choke me, and I woke up and I was choking myself. Continue. Like, that's a crazy dream, right?
Yeah, you were literally choking yourself.
I was like, ooh. 16. Wow. I was like, never had sex even at that point in my life, and I had that dream. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Yeah. I sleep eat and you sleep choke.
I dreamt I had a threesome with the Williams sisters.
Who are the Williams sisters?
The tennis players. You know,
Oh,
really?
Serena Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like she grabbed me by the throat. And just, she had a pretty deep voice. I was like, you're going to make me come. I'm like, okay. And then I made her come. And then I woke up.
Okay.
Because I just seen the movie Orgasmo. Uh-huh. Have you ever seen that movie?
Uh-uh.
It's the guys who did South Park. And it's a movie. They're spoofing the porn industry.
Right.
And there's a scene where... in the movie, he's a Mormon, and he gets into porn to make money for his wife. And he says, listen, I'm not going to have sex. I said, no problem, we'll do a stunt cock. But they make him do everything up until the sex. So in the scene, they have him doing a just a basic sex scene with this girl named T-Rex. And he's like, why do they call her T-Rex? And then you see the stage grumbling, and he's like 400 pounds. And she looks at him and goes, you're going to make me come. I'm going to beat your ass. So that was in my mind. And then for some reason, the Williams sisters got, instead of T-Rex, it was the Williams sisters. So
I think we just dream about what we're lacking. I'm lacking in romance. She needs more violence in the bed. And you need to make women come.
Trust me, I'm not lacking either. I get a lot of repeat business.
Okay. Well, okay. No, I mean, that was... maybe one of the saddest things I've ever heard here at the Comedy Store. I'm sorry, Earl.
I don't lie. They all leave thinking the grass is greener.
They
might be next, but they'll never be first.
Okay.
You date younger guys. Won't take you to dinner, and then you'll come crawling back.
All righty.
Not that I'm speaking about anyone in particular.
Okay. Okay.
Last six, anyway.
Okay.
Last six.
So we're going to go into our stories right now. What we do here is we tell the truth and a lie, and we figure out which one is the lie. You can start with whatever story you want to start with. You can't Google, though. No Googling. Sometimes people want to Google. But what is your first story?
These stories are un-Googlable. I've been the same size since the fourth grade.
Height wise.
No, I mean I've had this body since the fourth grade. And
you say that, but pre-pandemic you were slimmer.
Okay.
I'm pretty much the same weight. But they were gonna have to take out my pituitary gland. Because in fourth grade they're like, you're gonna grow to be 7 feet. We can't
So you were already at the height that you're at.
Yeah,
now.
I'm at the height. I mean, I might not have been 200 pounds in the fourth grade, but I was pretty close.
Uh-huh.
I just kept growing.
Right.
And so I was a dominant athlete in the Beverly Hills school system.
But that's not, you're not saying much there, though.
Well, there's a couple of black kids who played at the other school. I was like Shaq. Like, you couldn't stop me in basketball. Football, it took 5 kids to tackle me. So when I got to high school, I tried out for the football team. And, of course, that was really the first time I ever saw kids my age, my size, or bigger. But I was still one of the bigger kids in my high school, Notre Dame, Sherman Oaks. So I was a star running back because they just give the ball to Earl. No one.
You said they wanted to take out your pituitary gland?
Yeah, that's... like what they did with Andre the Giant, the wrestler.
And
he grew to
because he would have kept going?
You literally don't stop growing. He was 7'5", 500 pounds. There's an MMA fighter named Bigfoot Silva. He had to have it taken out because his head was growing. Like, if you've ever seen don't Google it, I guess, but like Bigfoot Silva's head is twice the size of mine because everything's big on him. So they were like, we have to take out your pituitary gland. And they did. So.
Oh, you did have it out?
Yeah, I did have it taken out because, you know, I think the average size of a fourth grader is maybe 5'6", 130 pounds, and I was probably whatever I am now, 6'1".
So in fourth grade, you had the pituitary gland taken out.
They had to.
And where is it at? Where was the operation on your body? Where?
It's in your leg.
It's in your leg?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, it's a big gland that goes... I mean, it might go a little bit into your stomach, but it goes... like a lot of it's in your quadricep.
Uh-huh.
So, and it goes into your pancreas.
Uh-huh.
Because if you don't get it taken out, your everything, it's like... It's literally, you become the Incredible Hulk. Like, your pancreas gets bigger, your livers get bigger.
Uh-huh.
You literally...
That explains why you have the voice of a giant.
Yeah. No, I do. I mean... B-5-0. Yeah, your voice does get... I mean, everything about your body changes. And your heart, that's why a lot of people who don't get it taken out, their heart just...
Keeps on exploding.
Beyond an enlarged heart. So my mom was like, oh, I'm not raising a giant. And it's weird because neither one of my parents were that big. Like, my mom was 5'6". My dad was, 6 feet. Nothing like too big. And no one in my family's bigger than me. So, but I still maintain the size. So in high school, they were like, we got to put Earl at running back. No one's going to be able to stop him. Like, I could have probably played offensive line. Because this is freshman year, you don't have to be 300 pounds yet. Varsity, you do, but so.
So, how big of a scar do you have?
Why don't you check?
Why don't you show us?
These are high def cameras. Hold on, it's cold in here too. Let me start. Yeah, you got to understand, this was done in the 70s. So I have a torn ACL that you can't see any of the scarring. And that's a major surgery, torn ACL. It's probably the second most serious surgery outside of a back surgery in terms of what they have to do. And they really get in your knee. And I have a cadaver. I have a dead person's ACL on my leg. That's how they just graft it and it just folds in. So if I had the pituitary gland taken out now, it literally would be... Not even the size of this hole in the can.
You know, right.
Go in there. But back then, it's a 6-inch scar it's healed pretty well. So, I'll show it to you after.
Okay.
Well, it's been a long time, so yeah. I would assume that the scar's not so bad.
But if you ever see anyone who got knee surgery in the 70s.
Yeah, they have a big old scar.
Oh, they're gigantic scars just because they literally would open. I mean, for a pituitary gland, they have to open your leg up. And, they take it out, and it's...
Well, I never knew it was right there. I thought it was somewhere else. The pituitary gland, around your
Google
neck
it.
Or... I know. All right.
So, no, but it's a huge gland. It's like, your liver is, takes up basically the whole side of your both sides of your body, livers. Wait, I thought you said you couldn't Google.
No, I'm not Googling. This isn't, this is just to write down the story. That is so interesting because I have many questions of how long were you out of sports? Because that seems like it's kind of a big operation.
For a kid, it is.
Yeah.
But I had this amazing,
I'm going to recap the first one.
I've never had a drug or drink in my life, so I don't have, I don't take pain pills, so for me, I have this freakish tolerance for pain. So I played sports probably 3 months after.
Yeah.
Now, this is grade school sports. It's not,
high
when
school.
When you're the biggest kid in your class, I was putting out minimal effort and still dominating the Beverly Hills basketball and football league.
But again, that's really not saying much.
In the 70s, it was. But now, listen, a lot of the schools we played were pretty much white only, so I definitely was skewed towards my favor.
How tall are you?
People think I'm taller, but maybe 6'1".
Yeah, you're actually not that tall. I mean, you're tall, but for the pituitary gland thing, it seems like you would be 6'5".
And I do have a big head. Well, my head is, to be honest, I'm roasting myself here, but I have a semi-pronounced jawline. I mean, and my head is bigger than average. I mean, this is the only beanie that I wear that fits.
But you said your mom was 5'6" and your dad was 6 foot, but that was way back in the day where they just, ate out of cans and really didn't have a lot of, sustenance. Like, my mom grew up during World War II, right? She was born in 1940, and she was a tall chick, but everyone else was really short. So it's not that big of a leap that you're, I'm almost 5'7". My mom was 10. My dad was 6'1". You know, I don't think it's that out of the ordinary that you would be 6'1".
But yeah, but course, if he would have kept growing, if it wouldn't have taken out his pituitary gland is the thing.
Right. If I would have left it, I probably, I mean, who knows? I haven't really researched it, but, you know, there's that one 14-year-old in Asia, you know, he did not have it taken out, and he's at 14, like 7'3". He's not that heavy. And then there was the basketball player, Manute Bol, who's probably the most famous tall guy outside Andre the Giant. He was 7'5". He didn't have it taken out because he was in, I think he's from Kenya, so that, you know, they don't have really access at that time to those surgeries.
Right.
Like, this is Beverly Hills, so I had the best doctor.
That's why they stopped you at 6'1".
I mean, Dr. Catherine Wexler. I can even tell you where her office is. I don't know if she's alive
anymore. Oh, my God. You're such a good liar. Oh, my God.
No, I'm telling you right now, her office is on San Vicente and Wilshire by the where all the homeless people are. I mean, you got to narrow it down.
All right.
Thank you, Mayor Garcetti.
All right, that is
that's not the end of the story.
Oh, there's more. Oh,
there's
okay.
So, long story, I'll make it quick. So at Notre Dame High, I got kicked. Basically, the whole point of the story was how I got kicked off the high school football team, because they would send me in with the plays. And it's Coach Kevin Rooney, Notre Dame High. He's still the football coach there.
Damn.
Really good-looking guy, like Tom Selleck. I mean, I don't know what he looks like now. And so he would send me in with the plays. So I went in the first time. It was like 23 ISO, which is a running play to the right. It's just a very simple. I don't know why. I think it's isolation. You isolate the running back to go in this particular order. And I went in the huddle, and I'm like, hey, guys, how's the pussy at this school? And the quarterback like looked at me like, what? So he called his own play, and then Coach Rooney calls me over. He said, what did you tell him? I said, I told him 23 ISO, coach. I don't know. He went rogue. And then he's like, all right, do that play again. And so.
Did you tell him that play, or did you just talk about the pussy?
No, I was just. I've always been the class clown.
There's a sentence you thought you would never say today, right?
I've always been the class clown.
Right.
So I thought, oh, this will be funny. It's a serious. Like, Notre Dame High football is very intense. It's. For Southern California high school football, it's one of the more...
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Why did you go to Notre Dame if you're at Beverly Hills? But then it does have, like, a good football program. Yeah, so is that why you went there? Or no, why did you go there from Beverly Hills High School?
I went to... I was kind of in the dead zone of school districts because I grew up in Bel Air, which, you know, everyone knows by now. So I could go to really any school I wanted to just because, you know, Bel Air didn't have a high school. So you had an exemption where I could go to Beverly Hills. And I went there for one day. And my mom picked me up. Well, I should say my mom was in the back seat and Leroy the butler was picking me up. That's another podcast. Because there weren't many African-Americans in Bel Air in the 70s. So I can't tell you how many times, sadly, that I got pulled over being taken to school. Because the cops would think Leroy was kidnapping me. Because Leroy was very black. Like, he was as black as these walls.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you saw my Instagram the other day, I posted a picture at his grave. Because I go once a year to clean his gravestone. But he was the first person that died.
I know.
I mean, Leroy, like, I'm cleaning Leroy's place though. That's insane, right? The white guy from Bel Air. Leroy would take me to school, and when Leroy picked me up at Beverly High, my mom saw like Porsches, Lamborghinis, Ferraris. I mean, the parking lot was, it's everything Beverly Hills 90210 portrayed it to be,
but right,
100 times worse. So my mom's like, you're not going here. And then...
you're not going there. We're going to have the chauffeur drive you to the valley. Okay.
Well, then they want
bring
me
you
to go,
down a few pegs.
They wanted me to go to Loyola, which is an all-guys school, and I heavily vetoed that. I'm like, all right, I got to be around some chicks, man. I'm horny at the... You know, you're horny at, like, ninth grade. So Notre Dame, I got in trouble for what I said at the end of freshman year. I don't think I could say it on this podcast, but... Because Notre Dame was all boys the first year. And then the dean, because I was such a good student, the dean brought me in at the end of the year. He's like, Earl, do you have any suggestions for how we can make this student experience better at Notre Dame? I said, you got to get some broads in here, man. Like, Because you're going to raise... I can't say the word I said. I don't want
to... So, hold on. You just said you didn't want to go to this other school because it was all boys. Then you went to Notre Dame, but you just said they were all boys for the first year.
They were, but I had it on good authority that there was a high school, if you're familiar with the Valley, called Corvallis, and it was an all-girls school, and they were going out of business. And I thought the only place they could go to is Notre Dame. It's literally the only high school in that area. And it's a private school. Notre Dame's private. So I gambled.
There's like a ton of high schools in that area. There's Campbell Hall.
Not
Campbell
Catholic.
Hall. That's Episcopalian. That's a nice
school. But hold on, here's the problem. Now I'm assuming when you're in this huddle and you make this joke, there's no girls in the school. So they're like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, but they would ship girls.
Oh, yeah.
But the cheerleaders were from Corvallis. So I knew.
Oh, you got them, girl. You got them.
Not really. Look at him. Not really. What? I said, how's the pussy at the school?
Okay. Yeah, like, it's an all-boys school.
Yeah, but Corvallis was our sister school at the time, so they were our cheerleaders. Oh, okay. You can Google this shit up.
Cause yeah, you can Google that.
But then the second play he sent me in, this is why I got kicked off the team, he said, Earl, just tell him 23 ISO, because they have a weak right-side defense, and that's where I want to run the ball. So I got back in the huddle, and I'm like, all right, guys. And usually the quarterback is calling the play. They never, but you know, just people like me. I'm just the man of the people. So I'm like, Coach Rooney, just throw to the black kid. Just get open. And I looked at the black kid whose name was Morgan Shepherd. Not Morgan from the. I said, Morgan, just get open. And Coach Rooney wants you to throw it to him. And then I got kicked off the team.
Why?
I mean, I don't think Coach Rooney was into my sense of humor.
Yeah, but that second time, why'd you get kicked off? You said
I said throw to the black kid.
Oh, you didn't say the ISO.
No, I didn't say 23 ISO. I just looked at Morgan and said, Coach wants Morgan to go out and get open. Like, there wasn't even like a play like 4-3 Rector, you know, just like go out and get open.
Well, why did you take it upon yourself to make that call?
Because I didn't really want to play football. I wanted to play basketball. At the time, I was pretty good at basketball. Think of me as like a white Rodman. Like, I was. Because I was so used to the grade school where I could just grab any rebound. I always liked playing defense. So, and I wasn't fast enough to play defense in football. So I thought, well,
when did you start liking basketball?
When I was dominating in like fourth grade. Okay. I was like playing against kids in seventh and eighth grade. And I just, no one could stop. I mean, I was like Shaq and Blue Chips. I was just like unbelievable.
Tony has raised his hand.
Which game of the season was this? Was it towards the end of the season?
The football?
Yeah.
No, it was the first game.
Okay. Okay.
The very first freshman football.
Okay.
Because they were, I don't know how they do it now in high school football, but freshmen, I don't think freshmen now can play with the varsity, but I was bigger than probably 70% of the varsity players. So they were grooming me. I don't mean that in the comedy world, but don't get me started there. To play on the varsity team freshman year, but then the coach was—he was like a serious coach. Like football at Notre Dame at that time was second to baseball in terms of, because my freshman year at Notre Dame High, which was I think 82-83, we had the number one baseball team in the country.
Can I ask you? So we were watching football outside the other day, and it was a Mormon team. And
BYU?
Yeah, it was BYU. Because that's why I had asked Luke, what's BYU? And he knew it was Mormon school. But they had a score, I swear it said negative 21. How could he do that?
No,
I know.
It's probably the point spread.
It could be the point spread, or you saw the team that had the football. So on the screen, there's a little football next to the score because they have the ball. So it probably looked like negative 21 because I've seen
it
that
was before. Definitely a negative.
It's
was
probably
a white.
The point spread because you know in GAM like in football, you know I don't know who they were playing. Let's say they were playing USC. USC would be.
They're playing Stanford.
Okay, well Stanford's probably pretty good. I mean I don't follow college football that much, but they're probably better than BYU.
Yeah.
But if you think about, it's funny you say BYU. I at Notre Dame High was like Jim McMahon, who you guys are too young to remember.
No, I know him from wrestling.
No, that's Vince McMahon. This girl's out of control. What's in that water bottle? I want that water bottle.
I'm not bad.
I have Jim McMahon's autograph, I think.
But you, so Tony might give this a little more. Jim McMahon went to BYU, but he was the furthest thing from a Mormon. He was like the rock and roll party guy, and he did not fit at BYU. But
he was like the Ed McMahon of Mormons.
So I was like that at Notre Dame High, at least the football team. And then the only sport I ended up playing at Notre Dame was golf, because my dad was a member at the country club and the coach wanted to play. I wasn't the best golfer.
Well, this is a very wild story with lots of little details and
twists and turns.
I think, man, I think when you argue with someone, you just back up the dump truck and pile up the information.
Well, it's a mind fuck. I throw so much shit at you guys. Yes. You're like, fucking probably true. Who can make that shit up?
Well, what's interesting is the pituitary gland thing may be true, and then the actual story was like, wait a minute, let me get to what the story's really about.
Right.
Maybe that's just
so,
a lie.
So, yeah, that's what I was also thinking as I was writing it down. It seems like, we're gonna say it's all, clumped in together, because you could say, oh, is the pituitary part true? And then getting the African-American fella kicked off or getting kicked off because you said something.
But I think my body style tells you I'm telling the truth, because no, but like I am big boned. I'm not muscular. Like I'm trying to think of Carrot Top is like, if he walked in here, he's fucking jacked.
Yeah.
I don't have that body, but like my shoulders are very broad and my head's big.
Uh-huh.
My legs, when I was in maybe sophomore year, they called me Baby Platts. Now, that's a reference probably no one in this room gets, but if you can pull up.
We're not pulling up shit.
But will you pull this up after? Like,
okay.
There's a bodybuilder by the name of Tom Platts who was known. He had a great upper body, but he had the largest legs in the world. He could stand shoulder width apart and the inner thighs would touch. And that's
gross.
I mean, his legs are so freakish, but I was called Baby Platts because I just had I'm naturally big boned and like, so I think it's very believable, the pituitary gland story.
Okay, all right. Okay. All right, so we're gonna move along from that crazy ass story, and we're gonna,
I don't know if I have enough energy for another story.
And we're gonna move on to Earl's second story, unless someone has any questions about the 150,000 facts that came about from the story, or can we move on?
I don't think so right now.
Okay, what is your second story, Earl?
Well, if you remember the first time I was on this lovely show, I think it was Stephen Fury.
I think so.
Was that 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, it's been a minute now.
I told a gangbang story. It was the true story about Carol Shelby and his wife.
Yes, about the cars.
Yes.
Mustangs.
Yes.
Very horny girl that woman was. oh, my God. You know, we've all done comedy for a while. I've done it for 22 years. And I think the number one question I still get is, well, what got you into it? And it was that same group of guys from the Carol Shelby story. You know, they were all like, get into comedy, do open mics, we'll help you.
Right.
Because they were all managers, agents. Of course, when I got into
all gangbangers.
They were elite.
And we're not talking like, we're talking about
Los Digits. We're not talking like Los Digits.
We're talking.
A little roast battle reference there.
Guys who have too much money in their pockets. Continue. 100%.
Oh, well, I mean, you guys know agents and managers. You know, they were like junior Barry Katzes. Like, they lived, when you are an agent or a manager, you get up at 6 in the morning to deal with New York clients, and you don't go to bed till probably 8 or 9 at night. It's an incredibly grueling job. So on weekends, they lived 100-hour weekends. They lived for sex. They all had cards with their name on it, ICM, CAA, William Morris. One guy just had a card that said producer. No contact info, just literally a white card. That guy was me, by the way.
True.
So, they were into group sex. I can't explain it any better than that. They loved being with their friends, and they didn't like group sex like 7 guys, 7 girls. they really like the numbers to skew towards as many guys in the room as possible and one girl, maybe two. So one night we're at the Gate nightclub on La Cienega, which is now, I believe, I don't go to clubs anymore. I think it's called the Nightingale. It's not really my vibe there. I'm not going to say why. Let's just say me and Tommy, the old talent coordinator, wouldn't dig it there. You can read in between that if you'd like. And we're dancing.
Or you could move on with your life.
I can't. Nothing's over. So we're on the dance floor, the same group of guys from the first gangbang, and it's like that shampoo commercial, you know, the Purell commercial. You tell two people, they tell two people. My friend, I'm going to change some names here just because it's a truth.
We would like to still do sets here.
Yeah, I'm going to change some names here. We'll call this guy, he lived on Wooster. That's the street on basically Robertson and Olympic. We'll call him Jimmy. We'll call him Jimmy. And Jimmy called me. And I'm on the dance floor, and you got to understand, this is early 90s, might have even been late 80s, and cell phones back then were like typewriters. So when they buzzed your cell phone back then, it was like getting a massage. And so I pick up the phone, and he said, get over to my house right now. It's 914 Wooster. I got a live one I met at the Four Seasons. And because these guys would go to bar, they just had it down. They'd go to the Peninsula Hotel on Friday nights. All the hookers are there and whores. And then they'd go to the Four Seasons on Doheny Saturday nights because there's that bar there. And I forget the girl's name, but he's like, get everyone from the club and come over to my place. Like, I thought he was just asking me to come over. Like, okay, a two-on-one. You know, I've been there. he's like, get Ralph, get Jimmy, get Hugh and Drew, the twins, and anyone else you could round up. And I'm like, all right, it's getting a little crowded, but we all go over there. And I'm in there with I got to cover this guy. He's a very powerful person still. And we're in the elevator together, and he's like, now, Earl, be cool. You know, when we get in there, this girl's like, she's classy, so just give it some time. I'm like, even I'm like, bro, it's about to fuck seven guys. Like, stay classy. It's not the type of girl you bring home to your mom. And he's telling me this. So we get into Jimmy's apartment. I put my keys down. And the guy who said, be cool, keep it classy, he's already got his pants off. Like, huh? And we go into Jimmy's bedroom. And it's a visual I'll never forget. Actually, her name was Noelle. That's her real name. I haven't seen her since this night. Not Noelle, the girl Jeff Ross brings around. Yeah. what a shock they would know each other. So Noelle is on her back. She looks up at me and goes, who the hell are you? And my buddy, I'll explain what my buddy was doing in a second. He's like, he's in Rat. He makes more money than all of us. And that was his line at the first gangbang. Except, oh, he's in Guns N' Roses. He makes more money than all of us. Noelle,
because you had long, curly.
I had like Kenny G, like a Yanni vibe.
That would make anyone get off their back and go, "Who the fuck is that?"
I'm getting out of here. Yeah. This is weird.
Tony. Wait! I didn't mean that.
Minus the facial hair, I did kind of look like Tony.
No, you didn't.
I mean, his head's a lot more smaller, size, but, average size. Lois is like, I can't take this dirty talk anymore. Noelle, it's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. She's on her back. She's jacking off two guys. Another guy is having sex with her. And then my friend, we'll call him Hamburger Harry. He's over her head. Like, I'm where you are, and he's over her head jacking off on her face. And she looks up at me and goes, hey, you should get in on the party. I'm like, I'm good. I'll just watch. Thank you very much. And then, you know, I left because there were some things going on that, it just made me uncomfortable. Now, let me say this. This was all consensual. This was not anything.
You said she invited you.
Yeah, so it was. She was just. She had an appetite that made Shelby's wife look like a virgin. And One of the guy who was standing over her, you know, I guess jacking off, he farts really loudly and everyone's laughing. And then, you know, I'll just say this. There's a carrot. Uh-huh. For some reason, there was a carrot stick in the immediate vicinity.
So we get the picture. All her holes were busy. We get the picture.
Her holes were like the 110 interchange in about 30 minutes. Like, and then the twin brothers. Now, poor Jimmy hadn't done anything with this girl. It's his house or condo on Wooster.
He's the one that picked her up.
He's the one who picks her up. Gets her over there, and he was like waiting in line at Subway. Like, he's waiting to get in there. And then my two friends, the twins, Huey and Dewey, I can't believe I just used their real names. Ooh. Sorry, guys. They moved to Florida. It's all right. They come in and push Jimmy out of the way and say, move over, Hef, because he had on like a smoking robe like Hefner. And then they get in on the fun. It was seven guys at one time with this. Her appetite was unbelievable. And I left when something happened that I just, objects started being used. And I'm like, guys, I got to go. Like, I got a girlfriend.
These men use protection?
I got to be honest with you. But the seven dicks that I saw, none had rubbers on them.
Oh, that's not good.
So, well, it's a different era.
Yeah.
AIDS
yeah,
was
that,
cool.
That era was called She Really Needed to Pay Her Rent.
Yeah. I think she was doing it for called. Free, though. That's the scary thing.
Are you serious?
She was not a prostitute.
Oh.
The prostitutes were at the Peninsula on Friday night.
Wow.
This girl was just, you got to understand, if you can go there on your own time, the bar is still there at the Four Seasons on Doheny. And, you know, I would say Thursday through Saturday nights, it's, I think, traveling women. You know, women get horny too. Like, so I think these types of scenes still happen.
I'm sure that they do.
I'm down. Let's go.
I'm down to go with you. Like, I live right by there still.
I still have the hair.
You know, I was a taken man up until recently. So I might revisit the Four Seasons bar. Hey, girls, how you doing? It's been a while.
All right, any questions? Anybody any questions? Anybody got some questions?
How could you any not have questions on that story?
It's just a lot to visualize.
Unpack, if you will.
know,
if you will.
It's a lot to take in.
Nothing was unpacked. Yeah. Well, I mean, I try and,
I thought you were going to end it with, and she invented the shake weight. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I thought that story was going
for. I mean, I left when I'll just say this. A carrot stick and a phone receiver were about to be used. And I was like, guys, this is, like, too much for me. Like, I'm good.
And she wasn't into porn or?
No, she was just a horny bar patron at the Four Seasons.
How old was she?
I would guess mid-30s, early 40s.
It's okay.
Ironically, very much the same age range as Shelby's wife. Attractive.
Yeah.
Like, and my friend Jimmy.
She should have had her pituitary gland removed. I mean, something has gone on. Yeah,
her labia needed to be sewed.
Well, maybe she had something. I don't know.
Daddy issues.
Daddy and uncles and brothers.
That's not daddy issues?
That's like grandfather, uncle, and cousin issues at the same time. I don't know what girl thinks. You know, I really need to get fucked by seven guys. And a carrot stick and a phone receiver if they're in arm's reach.
Well, like, maybe she had a hormonal imbalance.
That's not a hormonal imbalance.
I try to defend, but, you know, I don't know. I mean,
I've dated girls with daddy issues. Yeah. We won't get into their names, but I think you could probably guess.
Look, there's two of them right here with daddy issues, and I never did that.
Probably, 100%. Yeah. I have mommy issues. I don't need to get fucked by seven girls, which...
What? You're like, wait a minute.
I don't have the energy. There's no way I could fuck. I'm 54. I hit the gas station boner pills from time to time.
Okay. Okay.
By the way, they are not a sponsor of the Liars Club.
No, not at all.
Try Black Mamba.
Ooh. Alrighty, so I guess I'm going to do the recap unless anybody has any pressing questions.
That's just two stories, right?
Just two stories.
Okay, oh, you don't want me to recap the first one?
Here, you can.
I don't need it.
Okay,
I remember it.
I bet you do.
Okay, go do it.
So Earl was 6'1" in grade school. So his mama was like, "We're getting your fucking pituitary gland taken out because we don't want you to keep growing. This is too much." He was going to be a fucking giant,
even though he really loved basketball. He didn't say one time, but mom, I want to be a basketball player. I need all the height. Continue.
Right. But she didn't want him to keep going. So then he goes in freshman in high school, and he's going to Notre Dame, and it's an all-boys school.
And he gets his chauffeur, Bad Leroy Brown, to drive him.
Would drive him over there because Beverly Hills was too hoity-toity.
I mean, the parking lot was... Like, this is the 80s, so if you've ever seen the movie Less Than Zero, it was very much like that. You could just tell everyone's on drugs, members-only jackets. I mean, it was... I probably wasn't mentally ready for that, but the funny thing is there were more drugs at Notre Dame than probably Beverly Hills High. I mean, I saw coke a weekend as a freshman. Drinking was next level. It was just drink. And weed... I saw more coke than I did weed, so that's the funny thing.
Well, he's playing his first game... on the football team, and he gets in the huddle, and for some reason, just because he's a likable guy, the coach is giving him the plays. He says, "Run the ISO." He goes to tell the quarterback, but instead he says, "Hey, is the pussy here good, this new school?" And they didn't think that was funny. No. And they did not score either way.
No, we were stopped at the line both times. Let's just say there's a lot of confusion in that huddle. Like, offensive line was like, "What the fuck?"
So for some reason, the coach, for the second time, thought it was a good idea to give Earl the play, although this is not typical. Usually they go to the quarterback, so I don't know why he was doing that. Whoop. And Earl said, "Throw to the black guy," instead of saying ISO again. And they lost, and he didn't play again. He got kicked off the team that quick.
But you have to understand, back then, you know, obviously the technology in 82, 83 – you know, now I'm sure even at the high school level, they have, like they do in the pros, they had an inner ear monitor for the quarterback.
Oh, well, they don't in the small schools in the South and stuff.
Well, I mean, they probably do in like Alabama because it's like a big football
school. Yeah, if it's a big football school, yeah.
But I would guess, I haven't been on a high school campus in a while, which separates me from some stand-up comics.
Yeah.
I'm the bad guy.
Like, we're going to believe that after those two fucking stories. Listen, you
know what I mean? I got one rule in my life. They got to be 18. If they're 18, it's a go. Like, and even then, I like being at least 19 so that I have a year buffer.
That's so sweet that you think that makes you look good.
Listen, I can't help it. They find me. You know, I do my spots. I'm Jeselnik style. I do my spots and leave. And then, you know, some buxom 20-year-old who... thinks coming here on Tuesday nights is a smart career move. Who's this guy? Oh, he's got a nice car. Leather pants. Hey, what? You want to go to Norm's?
Are you picking up someone through the camera right now? Yeah. Oh, my God.
All right. Yeah, I left the juicy one for you to recap.
Okay. Back in the late 80s, could have been early 90s, Earl used to hang out with a group of fellas that liked to... get one or two chicks as a group and gang bang them. So they were his group of gang banger friends. And he was on the dance floor at some time and they would call and you would have those cell phones in your pocket back then. They were like a brick. Like, how did you even have it in your pocket?
It was literally my first cell phone. Well, my first cell phone was just a car only phone that looked like a fax machine.
Uh-huh.
But it was probably this size.
And you had it in your pocket?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where else would you put it?
Okay.
Hey, I got a call.
Anyway, he got a call. And by the way, he said hookers and whores abound. And he told was told by the head gangbanger to be cool. They are going to meet some classy chick at his house on Worcester. Yes. And they go into the bedroom. And she was a visual that he would never forget. And all her... holes were busy.
Oh, you're leaving out a lot of good details, well, there, Felicia.
I don't want to be on fucking tape saying it. You know what I mean? Just imagine the worst. And they were like, and she liked Earl because she was like, oh, look at that fella in the corner with the corkscrew curls. Who are you? And he's like, oh, I'm a friend of the guy who no one else is letting in.
No, they said he was
in Rat.
He was in Rat.
Yes, and he was in Rat the band.
More money than all of us.
And yes, and that's like how she must have. She must be able to like. What is that when you can chew gum and or do this?
Ambidextrous.
Yes, she must have been very ambidextrous to be doing that.
I think.
Because that lefty will
you
be a sloppy
one. You would not be good
one.
With five guys if this is how you're giving hand jobs.
Yeah, everyone would be injured. Everyone
I think that's
I think that's how you milk
a cow, though. I think the technique is you would want to get in a rhythm with both of them going the same.
But it wasn't. But it wasn't just that.
You're just supposing.
I would assume.
Okay, all right.
It was the guy standing over her who had a huge dick. He was Italian, and it just. Like, she was like a quarterback getting blitzed. Like,
okay, we understood the first fucking time. Okay.
Yeah, but I didn't say I didn't say how big your guy's dick was.
Well, you just said it was like a horse's dick. Okay. All right, you didn't say it earlier. Okay, fair enough. So, anyway, he had to... Hamburger Harry is all over her, and then some other guy comes in, and then objects happen, and then Earl, being the nice young stand-up man that you see before you, was like, no, I must leave, and he vacated the premises.
Well, I like the empathy that he had in that story.
Empathy.
He did, because you know what? He was like, the poor guy that owns the house hasn't even got in on it, and he's sitting there, and then he gets pushed aside by the two twins on top of that again.
No, baby girl, empathy is thinking maybe this individual underneath the seven guys has emotional issues and we should clear the room altogether as a team, but no, okay.
Well, yeah, at that point, it's just like you're too far into the fourth quarter for that mindset. It's like, this is no turning back here.
All right. Well, I mean, sexuality is on a spectrum and everyone is allowed to enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
But you just feel bad as a girl kind of hearing it. Like I feel bad as a girl kind of hearing. No, I mean, it's your experience. You're young at that time. But as an older woman now, I feel bad because, you know, you have empathy really for a girl like that. That is so emotionally all over the place. She's doing that because, you know, I don't know.
But she was a, you know, like there's a comic up here. I won't say her name. She's actually pretty cool. She just loves fucking. Like, you know, and I saw her recently. You know, I don't know if this means she has problems, but I saw her recently. I'm like, hey, so-and-so, how are you doing tonight? She's like, oh, I'm just trying to figure out who I'm going to fuck up here tonight. But like, she, you know, to her, like.
But that doesn't sound unhealthy to me. But
well, maybe seven guys might be.
Seven guys without anyone giving you money. That sounds unhealthy to me. You know what I mean? But
I mean,
maybe
yeah.
I'm the whore. I don't know. I don't know.
No, I mean, who am I to sit there and say if she's having a fun time and it's consensual and nothing's forced on her? Like now, in 2022, I look back and go, I wish I never was a part of that.
Didn't that skew how you're thinking and as a man growing, you know, maturing? Doesn't that fuck you up?
Well, I mean.
This is the second time. He'd already been on
the show. Yeah, he says he's been. Witnessed four gangbangs.
Well, I mean, my first.
And the fourth one, finally, like, oh.
Fuck, I got to get some pussy. Well, I mean, the first time I ever got paid to do comedy was at a gangbang. So, because they needed.
That's so weird.
Yeah. But it hasn't fucked you up or anything.
But I've always treated women well. Like, I've never been dismissive or, like, I've never forced myself on one woman. I'm actually shy when it comes to one-on-one interaction.
Uh-huh.
Like, even to this day, I'm, I guess you'd say, I mean, you'd think at 54, given what I've seen in life, and I haven't done it all, but I've seen most of it three times over, that I'd be like some... suave, like, hey baby, let's go back to my house. And I'm not like that at all. I'm still like a romantic, and like, so you wouldn't think I would be a romantic given
just like we were talking about in the beginning in our dreams, because that's what you're lacking. You're lacking the romance.
What kind of TikTok fucking psychology is going on over here?
You're a horrible Dr. Phil.
You've had plenty of sexual encounters. You've seen all of that, but you're lacking the romance, and that's why you yearn for it. Earl, this is actually sweet. Felicia?
It's a sweet story. Okay,
but the world we're in almost... prevents you from having romance.
I know, I hate it.
Because we're up late at night.
You mean being in comedy? Yeah.
Yeah, and I've
for sure, for sure.
You know, but you think then you start dating only comics because that's who you're around.
And let's face it, if there's a girl that's not a comedian but she's super into comedy, you're like,
what's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
That's why I try not to date comics anymore. Just because there's just so many sets of problems that can happen. One of you will start elevating over the other. It just happens.
It just happens.
So I like dating improv people now because it's two separate worlds.
Okay. No,
yes. Fair enough.
I'm not
totally
in
different.
Competition
fair
with... I'm not good at
although
improv.
Although I did improv.
I bet you do.
All right. The improv world has been warned. Anyway, so...
I'll see you, UCB.
So we're going to come to the voting now of the stories. And if anybody, I don't think, has any more questions, I think we've covered it. so we are going to.
Noel.
So what do you think? Which one do you think is the lie? The football story or the gang banging
I don't
rat
think he,
story?
Well, the thing that's going to get me, and if this, I don't think he had a pituitary gland taken out. That's bullshit. I think he watched people come on the girl.
Now that's a good Gidley, put that into TikTok.
I agree.
If you don't put that on TikTok, people are gonna be
it'll
like,
get
what the
kicked
fuck?
Off TikTok.
Hey, dump the load on her. And then cut to Lois, passed out. Yeah. Hey, Lois,
oh, my God. I fucking love you, Jessica. So we both think that the first story is a lie about the pituitary. I wonder if the pituitary gland has anything to do with sexual drive. Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. What do you think, Tony? What is your thoughts on what story is a lie?
I'm in the same boat. I'm same as you guys, but I definitely thought it was hilarious that... One of these stories was a cute high school story, and then the other was a gangbang story, the worst gangbang story possible.
Oh, no, there's worse.
Oh, yeah.
The one I did stand up at.
Okay. That's oh, I remember that story. I remember that story.
That was the Bukkake, right?
Well, I mean, long story short, they asked me to basically do crowd work at a gangbang. And I was on stage with the girl, and I bonded with the girl because I was literally the only guy in this room full of a couple hundred.
She would queef every time he hit a punchline.
It was so natty.
Well, I imagine, too, she needs a break from time to time, so you had to riff. Right?
I had to go with her backstage.
So what were you like? Like, hey, were you guys...
Well, we've horrible. Already been over this for the last podcast I was on.
Number 345, what are you doing tonight?
All right, so we all three think that the pituitary gland getting kicked off the football team is the lie, and that we all know that gangbang story is the truth. Which story is the lie, Earl?
The pituitary gland.
Yeah, no shit. Is this big the pituitary gland?
There are elements of truth. I really have been the same size since the fourth grade, so I was taken to Dr. Wexler, and they were like, they gave that as an option to my mom. And my mom, because my jaw was so big at that age that they were going to have to break it and reset it because my teeth were not growing with my jaw, so it... But my mom was like, "Now, if you're a giant, fuck it, you'll be a giant." She's from Cartersville, Georgia. She didn't give a fuck. Great mom. I would take the chance because most people, like most giants, die at in their mid-40s. Like I think Andre the Giant died at 46.
Yeah, the Beanstalk Giant was 36.
And then,
I'm kidding.
Oh,
there's no Jack and the Beanstalk, Wellington.
What's that from? Was that where the Jolly Green Giant came?
But I did get kicked off the football team. The lie in I don't know if that. The football part's true.
Uh huh.
But the pituitary gland is.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's no way the pituitary gland is that fat. It can't be bigger than your liver.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I was like, fuck what I say.
That's what
I don't know. I, and do I think it's in your head.
I think it's in your brain or up here somewhere.
Pituitary? I think you might be right. It might be.
You mean the third eye?
I don't think it's the pineal gland. What is this, yoga? There's some third eye.
That's the pineal gland.
It's not in the middle.
No way. Yeah, it can't be there.
Can you look it up?
Anyway, you have been, as always, a hint.
I hope it wasn't too dirty.
No.
Like, I don't want Peter watching this going, get this fucking guy out of here.
No one in the room is ever going to work for Disney, but that's okay.
But also, you know, you had a tell on that first story, because at the end, too, you're like, I think that's believable.
Oh, I know. Yes, yes.
The pituitary gland is a small bean-shaped gland situated at the base of the brain, somewhat behind your nose, between your...
Yeah, when you said the leg thing, I was like, that doesn't sound right.
I don't think it's bigger than
your liver. I just don't think that. But what do you have shaken? Do you have any dates you want to shout out for yourself? Where can people follow you?
At Earl Skakel everywhere. And then the Comedy Store Wrestling Podcast and the Inappropriate Earl Podcast. And, you know, I'm here a few times a week, you know. So I don't really do the road unless it pays really well. And I'm not enough of a name for it to pay really well. So
right.
Doing the road sucks if you're not getting paid well.
Yeah, but it's sweet when you're getting paid, Jessica.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, but aren't you opening up for people?
Not recently, really. No.
But didn't you open up for, like, Eliza or
something? Yeah. Did Vegas with her. That was really fun. That was my biggest crowd I've ever done.
Like, see, that, nice, to me, is not doing the road. That's doing comedy.
Yeah, that was awesome. That's when we met Boys to Men and everything. It was cool.
Okay, you lost me on that one. But,
Do you have anything coming up?
I will be in Vegas. It got changed to December 8th. And I forgot, I'm supposed to be going by Jess Wellington now. So that's my name. And also, that's where you can follow me at.
But what's the change?
Well, Jessica Wellington is some...
There's this woman in Texas. She's running for Congress now. And her name's Jessica Wellington. And she is a complete Republican. Nothing against that, but she's the exact opposite of me. But when she was just playing volleyball in college, we were cool. But now...
She's like you when you first came to the Comedy Store. You were all
kind green. Oh, man, this is great.
And the door guy says it. Donald Trump, you were all that guy. I was like, what?
That was Matt's.
I know.
He died?
Yeah, Matt Billen.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I got a great Matt Billen story.
I love Matt.
Yeah. Anyway.
But follow me at Jess Wellington, too, on everything for updates on any of my dates.
Yeah, and I am Felicia Michaels. You can follow me all across the board at Felicia Michaels. I know Twitter's probably going down, but follow me there. And if you're ever on any social media site, I'll probably be on that too. And that's about it.
And you have been lied to.